Hello, mate. Pint of more lash, please, when you're ready. Thank you, mate.
More lash is so delicious and light. Makes me want to ring a chica tonight. Oh shit, my chat's already better. That's right. Now I'm fucking perfect tense. That's tight. And then I walk through the old town tavern and say, can I have a pint of more lash to help me on my way? Got so many plans for this lovely summer's day, but just want to prove my check it for its old day. Little orange door is only 10-minute walk. Guess I'll hit up Inns and then I'll have a little stalk. Guess I'll have another pint of more lash, please. Oh my god, my chat is so good, it's got me on my knees. Like then I go to St. John's and Whopping Tavern, what a day. Then she says, oh my god, you came all this way. Came all this way, yeah, I came all this way to have a pint of more lash to help me on my way. And guess what, for all of you working in the city, we got one opening in Farringdon and one at Liverpool Street. And for those up north, there's one opening in Derby. Get ready for the more lash takeover. More lash is so delicious and light. Makes me wanna ring a chica tonight. Wish my chats are ready better. That's right, now I'm fucking prepping tens. That's tight. Also, order more lash on the website, stay up to date on the Instagram, and just drink the most premium beer in the world. This summer's yours. Yours for the taking, and we're here to help you along the way.
More lash! A bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Rootbiz Podcast. My name is Freddie Clodden, and as we crawl towards our 100 episodes, we're only 5 away at 95. Mr. Archie Curzon, how are you doing, sir?
Mate, I'm chilled.
You good?
I'm really, really chilled.
Why are you so chilled?
There's something about August, Clodden.
Yeah.
When you work in the city, August is the time where you take your foot off the gas a little bit, and you're kind of in cruise control. You're just enjoying the city for what it is. You know, it's a lot of meeting clients. It's slightly more relaxed, and yeah, I'm just super chilled.
So more lunches, more brunches, interviews by the pool.
Yeah,
all that kind of jazz.
It's one of those times where you probably can get out of the office at 5 o'clock.
Wow.
And get to the common for a bit of touch ruggers by 5:30. Very
incredible.
Rare you get to do that in a year. August is the time of year where people are wearing holiday.
Yeah,
and it's just look, it's just chilled, and I'm chilled.
You say you're chilled.
I honestly am, like, the most chilled I've been for a while.
Well, you say you're chilled. The Bank of England have forecast the recession going on for more than three quarters. Why are you going for lunches? Why are you going for brunches? Why, you know,
Clodden,
why?
I mean, it's very hard for you to understand. Like,
okay.
you've got an earring and you're unshaved.
Okay.
You don't work in the city. And I imagine you will particularly feel that recession.
Yeah, probably.
For me, I was around for the last recession. I don't really remember having any issues. And I certainly don't foresee me having any issues in this recession.
Not at all.
No, not at all. No, I've also done a forecast,
right.
Like the Bank of England. And I feel like I'll probably squeeze one more holiday than I did this year.
Wow.
In next year. Yeah, so yeah, that's probably why I'm just super chilled. I think that's why a lot of people who have a lot of money are normally quite chilled in times like this.
Well, you know, you say you've been chilling, you've been going out having fun. I saw you with a certain old acquaintance of yours, Puddles, on Monday. Well, what's the story
behind
that?
Hugo Pudworth, aka Puddles, yeah. Top guy.
Good guy.
I saw him mention on my Instagram, but you know, he'd had a torrid time, Clodden. You know, 3 months ago, he lost his job as a stage agent.
Jeez.
And you know, he was worried because, in all honesty, he wanted to be the best estate agent ever. That was his dream from about the age of 13. That's what he wanted to do. But you know what? He's a resilient bugger.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give him that. And I know he listens to podcasts. Puddles, you really are, mate. You know, he dusted himself down, got back on his feet, put an amazing business plan together, got all his life savings, was roughly about 55K, which his granny left him when she died. I mean, she left him way more, but he spunked it in his
20s.
Right. And I'll tell you what, he was bloody good fun back in those days, but he's obviously calmed down again, and he won't mind me saying that. And then, yeah, hired out an office, got a PA, you know, had the vision. His dad invested 1.5 million and he started one of the most exciting property development businesses in London.
Wow, good on him.
And when he was telling me about it, Clodden, it is just so simple.
What?
You know, you just buy a house, you do it up, do the kitchen, whatever, you know, paint the rooms, then you sell it. And you're basically making a profit on that. It's a quick flip and dip, as he said. And he, you know, in all fairness to Puddles, he's learning it as he goes along. And he said to me, "Look, I don't really know what I'm doing." But he does know a builder that does. So he gets this builder in. He does all the work. Poor guy. It's just him and his son, the business. And they graft. And Puddles needs it quick. So they're working weekends sometimes. And the builder does all the graft. And then Puddles just picks up all the cash. And that allows him to really enjoy some of his hobbies, which is traveling and gym.
An incredible, incredible story.
It's an inspiration. I said to him, mate, you should write a book, or if not, do a blog online. It was unbelievable.
Well, he's obviously one of your oldest friends. Any other old friends? Any other friends you saw this weekend? Anything else?
No, I mean it's been super chilled, Fred. Like, a lot of my mateys went to Wilderness last weekend, which
Wilderness Festival,
gutted I missed, because they all said again, like, it was super chilled. Like, Wilderness is like so chilled, and like it, and a lot of them said like it was sick. Like, really sick. Like, because the thing about Wilderness is it's bloody expensive, but that keeps people who aren't like privately educated from coming there. So everybody is from private school.
This is Fields, school.
Everyone there's got money. There's no awkwardness. You know, like, sometimes we talked about going to a service station, you kind of have to queue up with people you don't really want to. You don't have that in Wilderness. 9 times out of 10, you turn around and the guy behind you or the girl behind you, you realise was in Cornwall like 7 years ago. You just haven't seen them. What a festival. I'm definitely going next year. We should do like a live pod there. I think it would be, like, I hate to say it, but it'd be so chilled and really sick.
So, Archie, obviously we've got a huge World Cup coming up next year over in France, final in Paris. Memories of 2007 when the Bender was called up and you were arrested.
Yeah. What a year.
But also, I've been told on good accord that it's 14 years to the day when this pod comes out that Rugby 08 was released.
That, Khaled, this is my favourite game.
Yeah, I know you absolutely love it.
I mean, some people like Call of Duty, some people like FIFA, not me.
Are you still playing
it? Yeah, religiously.
Right, well, I thought, what brings together World Cup in France?
I could compete in a competition.
Like a global level.
Yeah, okay. Can you look into that?
I'll look into that. But I was thinking, what brings together France World Cup 07 and Rugby 08 and the France World Cup coming up?
I don't know.
Mark Quaito.
Shut up.
Disallowed try in the final. Yeah.
Cover of
Rugby Away.
Oh my God. I think I might cry. Are we about to go and talk to Mark Quaito?
We're about to bring on Mark Quaito.
Oh my God.
MBE.
I've got to take a few breaths. Onside up. Welcome to La Banter Zone.
Can't wait.
We are staring at a man, ladies and gentlemen, who is sales director of a £1 billion tech company, Mark Quaito.
If it was valued at that, I'd be out of here, mate. Trust me.
Quaito, I just want to say you got a phenomenal jawline. That is great to see. You can tell a lot by someone's jawline, and I can tell you're a very successful man.
It's done all right for me over the years. A bit Johnny Bravo-esque. I think I'm hanging on by the skin of my teeth to it at the moment.
No, it's strong. You're looking well. I'm guessing you CrossFit. Do you CrossFit?
I don't do anything, if I'm being honest. I fear that my internal organs are. If you cut me open, I'd be in an absolute mess. So I feel like I need to try and do something to get a little bit healthier.
Well, maybe we can line you up for a boxing match. Earlier in the year, I took on Alex Payne for Restart Rugby in a boxing match. I mean, we won't talk about the result.
Well, sadly, you lost, didn't you?
Yeah,
you got destroyed.
A difficult result. But maybe we could get you in the ring with Tins for the sort of round two.
Did you say you lost to Alex Payne? Yeah.
Yeah.
Embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean, it was a difficult decision. Boxing is a corrupt sport. I will say, boxing is a very corrupt sport.
If I was you, I'd be keeping that very quiet, mate.
It's embarrassing.
I mean, I'm telling you because we're very good friends. I ultimately know we're going to be good friends. It's not on my CV, so don't worry. It's not on my CV. Other stuff's on my CV, like my Duke of Edinburgh, the fact I'm the CEO of Clapham, and I'm captain of the Clapham Falcons, one of the most successful amateur, semi-professional rugby teams out there. I've been fly half captain for 10 years, Kate. I run the line.
That's awesome, mate, yeah?
Yeah. Work in the city. There's not a lot I don't do. I'm a member of the NED. I don't know if you've been to the NED before. It's a great place to network.
The NED?
Yeah, the NED.
No, I don't network, mate. I've just got contacts. I don't need to network.
Well, Quato, I was going to ask, you are sales director, so what does that involve? Because Archie's job, or what I can see, is he takes people out for lunch every day, gets them pissed, and gets them to invest in the company. Is that what you do?
Yeah, essentially. That's exactly what I do, yeah. I'm ultimately responsible for bringing business into the business. It's a lot of entertaining, it's a lot of boozy lunches.
Kate, it must be so easy for you because, I mean, and me actually, you know, I've got 61,000 followers on Instagram. It always helps with business. And, you know, yourself, you've had a remarkable career in rugby. I can just imagine, you know, Mark Cueto coming into your inbox emails, you're responding to that. He's saying, look, do you want to go for lunch? I can tell you some stories about when I scored a try. You're like, I'm in. Next thing you know, you're signing over £100,000 worth of deals just because you've just enjoyed Mark Cueto's company.
No, I don't mess around with small deals like 100 grand, mate. That's small fry. That's for amateurs. That's for amateur fly arse, mate. Yeah.
We're talking multi-million. Let me tell you about this time I was in England, Judy. And then next thing I know, they're sending over $1 million.
Well, minimum.
Yeah.
If it's less than that, I just pass it down to the junior sales guys. Yeah.
Well, Kate, I should definitely put you in contact with my dad. He's always looking to invest. He's been very, very fortunate. He came into a lot of money in his late 40s when both his parents died in a car crash. And so he's always looking to invest. So, and he loves ruggers. So, and he loves a lunch. I'm not with me.
We should have a chat. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll put you in contact and for 10% of the fee.
Mark, it's not always been, you know, romance though, has it? Because you started out your career playing or trying to climb up the greasy ladder of rugby for the likes of Sandbeck, Oakenham, Kersal. I mean, before moving to Sale, where it got a tiny bit more romantic. But like playing rugby just before or just when it was becoming professional in the 90s, how old school was it? Just take us through the initiations for those clubs. Like, how dirty was it, you know, proper men just being men?
Did you do a couple of bum funnels, get a few toothbrushes up the bottom? What were we talking about?
The initiations were, I can't even remember now, just standard, nothing crazy, mate. Just standard stuff, wasn't it?
Just get naked and drink.
Just get naked and drink, mate, yeah. That's about it, isn't it?
That's some of the best sessions I've had playing for the Clapham Falcons is, you know, midway through the season, what I do is I get the changing room key, I lock the door, I've got a few crates of beers, and I just say to lads, we're not leaving here. Get naked, let's get lashed. And it brings everyone together. And it actually works in the business world. I've done it in my office with my team. Everyone liked it except Sandra. She did not enjoy it. She's the only girl on our team. She found it difficult.
She didn't get naked, no.
She didn't. I mean, we did chant a lot at her and say, get naked, get naked. She wasn't up for it. In the end, we let her out and then I relocked the door and it was just me and two guys.
I'm amazed that tactic didn't work. It
is something I look back on.
It's a good one.
I think I should have been more gentle. Sometimes I didn't have the right
what,
approach.
As in singing? Gently,
I think, or I should have just maybe, because sometimes with my team in the office, you know, when someone's not performing, you can do two things in the sports world. You can either shout at them, give them the hairdryer treatment, or you can put your arm around them and just say, listen, you know, you need to kick on. Your numbers aren't good. We're going to have to let you go. Which, you know, I have let a few guys go. One guy, because he was wearing badges and he played frisbee. He just didn't fit the culture and his numbers were terrible. And he asked me what my star sign was. I thought, fuck that. That's awful, chat. Get out.
He's out of there.
But poor guy, he had three kids and I don't think he found it tough anyway,
poor guy. Sandra sounded incredibly disinterested. Talking about disinterested, was Paul Sackey, because we're trying to get him on the podcast, we've been speaking to him for months, and every time he says he comes on and then he calls us with like a ridiculous excuse, like he's been chased by the police in America and stuff like just tell us about Paul Sackey.
Sacks is a great lad. He's one of my sort of best mates in the game. I think we first met on an England tour. It was an England A tour, actually, and we're in Canada, and we're all 20, 21, and we're all trying to impress. And the coaches that were running the tour got everyone in a meeting room on the first day and, you know, tried to sort of break the ice and get everyone to meet and introduce each other. And we sat in a big circle and went around the circle and everyone had to say their name, what they love doing and what they hate doing. As you can imagine, everyone's trying to do and say the right thing. So, you know, it's going around a circle and it's you know, I'm X and Y and Z, whatever. I love training hard and playing rugby, and I hate people being lazy and not working hard or not eating the right food, not having the right diet. And it goes around the room and everyone's trying to say obviously the right things to impress the coaches. And Sacks was one of the last guys to speak. He says, "Oh, right, my name is Paul Sacky." And he sat back in the chair like this, like, doesn't give a shit. And he said, "I love going out and having a good time. I fucking hate rugby." So the exact opposite of what everyone else said. But from that minute, you knew you had a good lad on your hands. And he's one of the best lads you'll ever meet. But I think he's the one thing that you can't rely on him for anything. I invited him to my wedding, and he accepted it, said he was coming, blah, blah, blah. Didn't even tell me, just didn't turn up on the fucking... He's the only person that didn't turn up on the day. So, but he's a top boy, mate. He's a top boy. If you can get him on air, you'll have a right laugh with him. He's got some good stories.
Well, you boys are both known for your pace, obviously, and obviously that 2007 World Cup, which we'll come into. But before playing 15s for England, you did play 7s for a year in 2000. Traveling to the most glamorous cities in the world. Just take us through how much trouble you got into on that year, being a single man traveling the world.
It was fantastic. I think the night we turned up in Chile, there was a Miss Chile competition on the beach, literally across the road from the hotel. So as you could imagine, we being professional and doing the right thing, we obviously went straight to bed and didn't get a sight of it. But Yeah, apparently it was a decent competition.
I hear the Chicas in Chile and Argentina are phenomenal. They are very similar to the ones we get in Clapham.
just like Manchester, mate.
Talking about South America, Argentina, Chile, obviously you went on tour for the first time with England with the likes of Moody, Vickery, Thompson, but you didn't actually play on that tour. You played against Argentina A, I believe, in an uncapped game. But that was under Clive Woodward. Apparently Clive was actually a bit of a dick. He didn't actually do anything. Just to tell us, because now all he does is spend his time slating other players and coaches. What was your experience under Clive?
Whenever you ask any player there who was their sort of best or favourite coach, it's generally the coach that picks you without being cynical. You love the coach that picks you every week, whether it's domestic for your club or international for England. The guy that picks you and puts you in that team is the best coach in your opinion. And at the time I was, you know, as a young kid, I was, you know, fresh on the scene. I was scoring tries for Sale. I think two out of my first three seasons, I finished the top try scorer in the Premiership, but I just couldn't break into that England team. So I naturally obviously became, you know, built an opinion up of Clive that wasn't obviously that good. So, you know, then I ended up sort of getting my foot in the door, going on the tour to Argentina, you know, doing well in the midweek game, but then again, not getting picked in the squad for the test match. So I, being totally candid, obviously didn't have a very high opinion of the guy.
The way I see it, MC, is if they had picked you, we probably wouldn't have gone to extra time in the World Cup.
Well,
who knows?
You took the words out of my mouth.
Johnny Wilkinson probably wouldn't be the guy he is now. He probably wouldn't have a kombucha brand and and a podcast. We'd be talking about Mark Cuedo's kombucha brand.
You never know. Commercial
break. It's AC here. I'm so sorry to interrupt the pod. I know it's seriously good banter, but I hope you can give me 2 minutes. I just want to quickly advertise in your ear. I'm pre-recording this. I'm at home. I'm naked after using my Lawnmower 4.0, but I just wanted to say I'm so grateful that Manscaped sent me my performance package. Not only does it give me my Lawnmower 4.0, but it gives me a weed whacker, my nose hair trimmer, my ball deodorant, my ball toner, and some boxes, which I'm surely going to put on after this, but I'm just admiring my work. I wish you guys can... Actually, you know what? I might put a photo up of my work on Instagram so you guys can see. But look, all I'm saying is, you know, you're going to get back to the pod shortly. Just go on the Manscaped website and type in the code RIGBIZ20 and get 20% off. You'll thank me later. Love and champagne.
In your first 5 years at Sale, you won European honours twice. But surely nothing to compete with winning that 2005-06 Prem. Just tell us, because, you know, often the guys, when they win at HQ, they get a Clapham to celebrate. How did you celebrate that final against Leicester?
I don't remember the night out, you know, where we went, what we did. I only remember sort of coming back to Peniel Park, and it was, I don't know, it was probably like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And there's, I don't know if you've ever been there, but there's a big brass horse.
I tried to get in a few times.
in reception. And I just remember about 5 of us on top of this horse, fucking absolutely leathered, essentially riding a brass horse at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, so is that your thing that thumbs up to? Is that one of the CEO?
That's my business partner, I'm CEO, Tony, yeah.
It's a real pleasure to see you operate in the business world and deliver podcasts at the same time. Yeah. It is incredible.
Multitasking, mate. Multitasking, yeah.
Quite. You are a multi-talented man, because not just a rugby player, not just a businessman, but you also used to model underwear for the American brand Jockey. And we've heard from others who have modelled briefs that there's a certain sort of a plumping process pre-shoot. So what did yours involve? Because Archie's made an application to Jack Wills to try and do some underwear modelling for them.
Bloody love that, Bland.
There was no photoshopping. There was no...
Are you sure?
Swear down on my kid's life. That was all... Oh, natural, mate.
That's all you.
That's all Mark Cuete.
All me. I'll never forget the time, because when you're young and you're bulletproof, aren't you? And you think you're always going to look and be as you were then. And I remember after doing the shoot, at the end of the day, my agent was there, and he said, "I'll make sure you get some of the copies of the photos, because I promise you, you know, you won't look like that for the rest of your life." And one day you'll sort of look back fondly on them. And I was like, fuck that, mate. I'm the Arsenal. You know, I'll be fine. There's no way I won't. And I look back now, sort of 20 years on, and think, fucking hell, I should have got some of those photos, as you said.
I've got a couple. I've got one on my office desk, and one next to my bedside table next to James Haskell, similar one of them. I use them as inspiration every day.
I love that.
I wake up and I try and do 100 naked sit-ups, press-ups and jumping squats before I start my day, followed by a 20-minute ice cold shower. And
you need to do a bit of work on those shoulders, mate.
Shoulders like a tramp.
I'm in a redevelopment stage. The season hasn't started, Kate, and you know, I'm just sort of redefining my body, my chassis, my rig. But I look at you and Hask every day as inspiration. Unfortunately, I have tried to work on the nether regions in the gym to try and make them bigger, but there isn't actually any equipment at the moment that helps you do that, which is something we're developing. I'm developing as a business to try and get something in the gym that will help grow, you know, in between your legs, not just your quads.
Before you get to that, just maybe concentrate shoulders, chest and arms.
Yeah, dude, get the easy wins done. Get the easy wins done.
Just currently wearing Samurai Rugby. They just sent me some free stash. I'm just doing a bit of influencing here. You're welcome.
Well, Quates, a year after being on the Lions tour, a year after winning the Prem for Sale, your home club, you end up going to the 2007 World Cup. We lose 36-0 to South Africa in our second group stage. It looks like we're crashing out, and then somehow we turn around and get to the final. What are your memories of that incredible tournament?
Having played for the Lions, it isn't the pinnacle. For me, the 07 World Cup sort of blows, in terms of an experience, blows that 05 Lions experience out of the water. Now the highs and the lows, and ultimately getting to the final of a World Cup was an unbelievable experience. So... But yeah, it was, I don't know, it was just, you know, the best sort of 8-10 weeks of my sort of career, life, whatever you want to say. It was, you know.
Well, obviously you ended up scoring the most famous try that never was, a try which would have seen us win the World Cup back-to-back 2007, would have turned into the most important day in all of our lives. Was it a try? Was it not a try, Mark, 15 years on?
It was a try. I think, unfortunately for us, it was the start of that sort of TMO sort of technology. Back then, 15, well, however many years, I think there was probably 5 or 6 cameras. You know, the quality of the cameras weren't as good. So I think that the best angle they had, and everyone's sort of seen it, is if I was sort of scoring in the top left corner, the nearest camera they had was behind the left corner flag at the other end of the pitch. So it's over 100 metres away.
Oh, it's definitely a try.
To go against the 100 that it looks like a try and the one that, it's not that it doesn't look like a try, it's just a bit one of them. It's a funny one.
Stuart Dickinson.
More cameras just makes it more clearer. I mean, like, for instance, in my office in 2007, they only had one camera in the office, and now they have 10 cameras. But that has seen at least 15 people lose their job.
Jesus Christ!
So yeah, interesting.
Well, yeah.
You're just more conclusive, aren't you?
Yeah, of course. You know what's going on.
You know when someone's been having an affair or being
taking drugs in the office.
Exactly. You know. Well, it's just good to know.
A year later, Mark, you did have the ultimate honour of being on the cover of the greatest game ever invented in Rugby 08. I know Archie still plays it, even though he's mid-30s.
Yeah. Two of my favourite things to do is play Rugby 08 and watch Living with the Lions. Anyone, I love it. Yeah, I'm about to have my first kid, actually, Kate's in October from a girl I met in Infernos. Luckily, I've got a kid on the way. He's probably going to be the greatest thing the rugby world's ever seen. So
congratulations.
Yeah. And then not straight after, actually, when she went upstairs to my room, I cracked open Rugby 08. No, started watching. So it's good.
Well,
bloody good night. Yeah, so I had everything: drinking, infernos, getting snogging, baby, and then I played Rugby 08.
You get to stare at Quaid's face on the cover of Rugby 08.
Yeah, it was actually a reassuring. And when I went back to bed, because you remember I've got a photo of Kate. Yeah, so it's brilliant.
Quaid, obviously 3 years after that incredible highlight and 4 years after that World Cup debacle, we go to New Zealand under Martin Johnson, one of your old mates. Now, forgetting your incredible hat-trick against Romania, which will go down in the archives as one of your greatest days, what are your memories of Dwarf Tossing Gate? Because we've had a lot of lads on and they've all told us their recollections of that brilliant night. So what are your memories?
Can't have a bad night, I guess, can you, when there's Dwarf Tossing in a bar. I was actually sober that evening. I had to train early the following morning, so I was completely sober when Ashi was causing all the havoc and basically bullying the smaller guys in the bar.
Well, what was actually happening? So Chris was just picking up a variety of different dwarfs and tossing them.
It's a sport in New Zealand and they take it quite serious. So
was Chris good at it?
I just remember being really aggressive and really, these guys are just sat chilling, having a drink and having a good time, and next thing they know, they've got the whitest guy in the UK with a massive eagle-like beak getting all of them and throwing them around and bouncing them off walls, and I don't think they could quite understand what was going on.
So it wasn't actually an official night of dwarf tossing.
No.
Chris just walked in to the bar and picked up dwarfs who were having a social evening and started chucking him.
Back in the day, some players like having a cheeky cigarette to relax, some like a drink, others like to, indulge in a nice glass of red wine. I think Chris Ashton just enjoyed throwing dwarfs and that was his penchant.
I was always under the sort of understanding that it was actually an official event, but no, it wasn't. He walked into a bar, picked up some people on their own social, and started chucking them against the wall.
That's an exclusive.
Is there such a thing as an official dwarf throwing event? I don't know.
We've tried to get it going in Clapham, but unfortunately, during the times...
It's not quite took off.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, the times we live in, it's really not a done thing. So, we're now looking at doing... So girls fighting in KY jelly. Again, we're having difficulty getting through that as well. But we're saying, guys can do it as well. Does he have chat or does he have no chat? Does he have chat or does he have no chat? Does he have chat or does he have no chat? Gonna ask those questions now.
Archie's most hated man in the world, Dylan Sausage Roll Hartley.
Chat.
Lewis Moody.
Terrible chat.
Johnny Wilkinson.
Average chat.
Joe Worsley.
Terrible, terrible, terrible chat.
Chris Ashton.
The worst chat.
Ben Foden.
Slimy, greasy chat.
Josh Lucy.
Not even a word to describe how bad his chat is.
Mike Kett.
Not bad for an old man, yeah.
Andy Farrell.
Brilliant chat.
And then finally, Lawrence Naughty Boy Delalia.
The best. The best of the bunch, mate. There's no comparison. He is up there with the best chat the best chat.
Gotta get him on.
Well, Mark Quater, you've been an absolute legend, sir. Good luck with your venture.
So
good luck with sale, and we'll see. Speak to you soon, sir.
Love and champagne.
Cheers, fellas.
What an absolute legend.
Oh my god.
Were you being serious about those posters in your room?
It's kind of a unknown fact, but Mark Quater is someone I've always looked up to and found very inspirational.
Chassis and chicas, welcome to my question time. You're welcome.
Welcome to my question time. Baby girl, I'm feeling fine, but time for question comes alive. I need to help you fucking thrive. Need to help you grow and find. Triple A, you know what time. Something here to heal your mind. Archie Gerson's question time.
Archie, please promise me you'll behave yourself, but it's that time of the week again. It's time for Archie's question time.
Oh, wow. It is... honestly, a real privilege to speak to the general public.
Well, I'm surprised people are still sending questions in.
Can I just say, last week, we forgot to do a sound.
Yeah, I know. That's why it was quite good.
And I thought this week we'll have something special, something that the listeners will really like. And so, look, before we start this, I would love to hear some of the hacker.
The hacker?
The New Zealand rugby team hacker to commence question time. Something that I think will help focus not just me, but the audience listening. God, that was spine tingling.
Yeah, Mike. Did you ever do the hacker?
Yeah. Well, when I was at school, when I was captain of my house pots team, I made everyone do the hacker.
Is that not cultural appropriation?
No. It was a Cheltenham College hacker.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Well, a very historic Cheltenham College hacker.
Well, let's get on to the questions, Archie, because we've got a couple. First one's from a certain Cameron Stratton.
Hi, Archie. It's Cameron Stratton here. I hope this message finds you well. I was just wondering, given the number of chicas that present themselves to you, how old is too old, and is that possible if their chassis is in good nick?
Wow. Firstly,
how old is too old if that's possible?
Firstly, Cameron sounded like he had possibly had a bit of a cold.
Yeah.
But I really do appreciate that he said thank you at the end. Really, really interesting question. And look, you know, it's well known. I get a lot of chicas coming to me, dropping in my DMs. And I don't think there's any age limit. You know, Cameron's right. If their chass is in good nick, then yeah, why not?
But Archie, firstly, a lot of listeners will be thinking, but what's Archie's age?
I'm 33.
You're 33?
Yeah.
Wow, so you're actually getting younger every year. That's remarkable. But also, Cameron wants to know, and the listeners want to know, you were with an older lady a couple of years ago just before lockdown.
Yeah.
She's probably
the oldest I was.
And what was she?
She was 58.
58. Good chat?
Yeah. She was a beautiful woman inside and out. It was very intense, the relationship. It moved very quickly, and sexually, I wasn't experienced enough to deal with what she wanted.
So, Archie, we've now got a question all the way from New York City across the pond.
Yes, this pod is global. A lot of people don't know that, but we are huge in the States and India.
Good day, Archie. Hope this finds you well. I was inquiring about the application process for the Chassis Monsters CrossFit team. What are the requirements to apply? Are former forwards allowed in? And what can I do to best improve my application status? Thank you. Love and champagne.
Wow.
All the way from New York City.
It's so nice because, as you know, one of my heroes is Stephen Hawkins, and he sounds exactly like him. I'd love to meet him.
Yeah.
Sounds like a really, really good guy.
He's a great guy.
But I'll be honest with you, the Chassis Monster application is tough. You not only have to be in seriously good shape. Look, you can be a forward, you can be a back. I don't really mind. You've got to be in shape. You've got to have some kind of shape to you.
Yeah.
You've got to be in some shape-age. Decent shape. Yeah.
Okay.
And then when you get there, there's a series of exercises, you know, that we put you through. Not just kettlebells, battle ropes, some EMON, some AMRAPs. You know, it's quite intense. You get past that, you're in.
Right, okay.
And I tell you what. It's hard to get out.
Honestly,
it's really hard to get out. Not only is like the Chassis Monsters WhatsApp group amazing, but when you're there doing CrossFit on the common on a Saturday, like the banter is like next level.
Like what?
So Clubbers, who's one of the boys, I got to say, and I know he listens, like, he is in really good shape. Like, he's got some shape to him, that boy.
Yeah.
And he was just saying, like, his banter was unreal. He's like, he managed to do his PB on the bench press this week. He was telling me about it. And then all of a sudden he whips out his phone. He's actually filmed it. And I was like, that's like, not only is that good chat, you're getting your PB on the bench press, but then to have it filmed and actually watch that.
That's good chat.
Yeah, again. Like, really inspirational, guys. Wow. So that's the kind of chat, yeah.
And then to finish off, we've got one from a certain Rich Muncaster. Here we go.
Hey, guys. I just realised there's a girl in Love Island. Oh, she was in Love Island. There was a nanny, and she's beautiful. And I feel like Archie would love her. I think she'd be up for wet nursing. I'm just saying, she's good. Wet nursing, let's go.
Wow.
Jesus.
Clovis, that is interesting. That guy's decided to have a few drinks and then send in that. Well, it wasn't even a question, it was a statement.
It was a statement.
He was just telling us.
We should get him a nanny from Love Island.
Yes, he was. That, it wasn't a question.
No.
So I'm not really sure what we should do with that. Don't know how he managed to get in on the pod. But okay, I'll look into it and I'll update everyone next week.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that brings an end to another episode of the Rubbish
Strong
Podcast.
Pod.
We've taken them up north, we've taken them down south, we've taken them everywhere.
You know what? The nice thing about that, I think, you know, the way I described that pod is I came in, I was quite chilled. Quite chilled the whole way through.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you noticed
You've been reclined in that seat,
yeah. At this point every year, you'll probably see that I am just quite a chilled, normal bloke.
Laid back, yeah.
A lot of the time, I'm quite intense, I'm on it. You know, I'm like that. Boom, boom, boom. I need something every time. But like now, you know, I'm quite chilled. And that podcast was super chilled. Like, it was quite straightforward.
Yeah.
And still a solid performance. It was almost like, you know, when you ride a bike, you just never forget.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I feel like this podcast. I'm just like, come in. I've not really thought about it because I don't know if I mentioned, but I'm quite chilled. And I've just done it. Like, my eyes closed and banter's been on fire.
We're talking about being super chilled. August is a month most of the city tends to get away for at least a long weekend or a week. Any plans?
No. Because the weather's so good here. And at Clapham at the moment, Clapham Common, because the grass is all gone yellow, it looks like a beach.
Yeah, yeah.
So on the weekend, it is like a beach. Like, people are in like bikinis. I'm in my budgie smugglers. There's no better place to be.
Well, Archie, we've got to remind our listeners to sort out their bushes because it's never been hotter in this country. So if they go to the Manscaped website and use the code RAPIST20, they can get 20% off all Manscaped products, because what's worse than having a bush in this heat?
Yeah, and we're going to have another heat wave.
So yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You want to make sure. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And
gross
also enough. To remind our listeners, tomorrow morning, Friday, 7 a.m, we will be doing the run, charity run for Ed Slater's charity.
We will
meet
me
outside Megan's. We're going to be a rugby
Megan's
ball.
Terrace.
It's going to be
by the skate park.
Yeah, yeah. For a 5K blitz.
5K blitz.
Bring your money. We're going to put it in the bucket. You'll be there with a bucket.
I'll be there.
And we're going to make some history.
Five a minimum, but we're trying to say 10.
Yeah, if there should be a lot of high net worth individuals. I'm like I said last week, I'm going to put quite a lot in the bucket.
Okay.
Looking forward to it, mate.
I'm looking forward to that too. Well, mate, I'll see you in the morning for some running.
Mate, I'm probably just going to mope off now because I am so chilled.
Yeah, okay, cool.
I'm just going to mosey on back home.
Yeah, I'm ready for you to go.
But if you want to come, maybe we just go for like a chilled pint.
No, I'm alright for later.
No, come for like a chilled pint.
No, I'm cool, fun.
Okay, but
I'll see you in the morning.
I might just go and have a chilled pint.
Yeah, go. Yeah, but not in my house.
Okay. Okay.
All right, mate.
Okay, bye.
See you soon.
Seriously, come for a chilled pint.
No, I don't, mate. I'm not that keen.
Come for a chilled pint.
Oh, no,
come for a chill point, please!